Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are in the first section, our first article still, the eighth section of the Constitution. This is not a one-day thing. And anybody can probably sit down and read the Constitution in a couple of hours, just to read through it. But to talk about and to provide insights and details as to what each line means when it's necessary. Sometimes it's some parts are pretty self-explanatory. Some parts have been, I'll just say, perverted to change what they really mean and how it was described. Because many people look at the federal government with this regulation of commerce. They can do anything. No, they can't. It was really clear that they just basically played the traffic cop of ensuring that the states were being protected from the foreign trade that was coming in, as well as trade with the Indian tribes, as well as trade between the states. That states weren't working together to take advantage of another state. Their job was to ensure that everybody had equal protection under this union. Anywho, as you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. You're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions of what we have to do to get the federal government into compliance. Not just the federal government, all government at all levels needs to be in full compliance with the Constitution. Almost all of our problems, almost every single one of our problems stems from the lack of compliance to the U.S. Constitution. Now, we have a few people that we promote. They're not sponsors, but I will tell you that if you're looking for some good quality wood furnishings, and, you know, if you're willing to wait, because everything that you get is going to be custom. It's not like you can... anybody in your neighborhood or anybody in the United States that does business, you will find a similar audio rack. You'll find a similar bookshelf. You'll find a similar desk. As a matter of fact, once I get the desk here, because I believe they're working on it now, once I get this broadcasting desk, I'm going to take a picture of it so that it can be displayed on Timber Nation. And it's not cheap. It's more than what would cost if I went down to Costco. But this is something that will outlast any of that. I've bought plenty of desks. I've bought a wood executive desk that, I don't want to say it's falling apart, but it's just, it's been beaten up because it's crappy quality. It's not solid wood. It's got laminates. It's got, you know, fill. It's got paint. I mean, that stuff just chips up. It looks cheap over time. You know, when you first look at it brand new, some of this furniture coming from Vietnam, Indonesia, or even China, you look at it and go, huh, that looks pretty decent. Then all of a sudden, as soon as the chip in the paint, you realize, what is that, plastic molding? Yeah, it is crap. And so it's a nice, and when you look at how much you're paying for that crap, and then you go, well, I'm actually probably paying the same price, if not less, from these guys. Now, because they build solid wood furnishings and because it's nice and clean stuff, if you're looking for a good quality solid wood bed, I'll bet you they could make it. They don't have it on the selections, but these guys, this is a family shop that loves and they pride themselves on challenging with good, or I should say, with custom type of work and giving you a good product. So when I get this desk, there's no doubt in my mind it's going to be bulletproof, and I'll probably be able to do carrier quals on it. If you know what a carrier qual is, that's, I think I've talked about this before, the Marine Corps birthdays, mess nights or what have you, when you started getting drunk, you'd put some beer on top of the table and you'd get a running start and you'd jump up and you'd land on it on your belly with your legs up, and they'd hold a towel that goes across. It's your arresting gear, and they're supposed to get you to stop before you go off the edge of this, what we call a little aircraft carrier, and that's what they call you know, qualifications, a belly qualification. Anyway, so I'm sure that it is going to be sturdy enough for me to be able to do that type of thing, but I would never do that type of thing because, I don't know, I've even when I was in the Marine Corps, I may have done some stupid things, but I don't think I ever lost my military bearing. At least I've tried my best not to, because, you know, that just gets disciplined in you. You don't, I never realized how much I hate gum. I used to chew gum all the time before I joined the Marine Corps. Then all of a sudden, you know, joining the Marine Corps, it really made gum, and, you know, people that chew gum as a lack of discipline, what have you. And next thing you know, I'm a gum hater. Anyway, dust covers. Dust covers. If you want, and if you got audio gear, you got equipment that you need to cover. Actually, I do need to get some more dust covers for my mixers and that type of stuff, because it does accumulate dust. And so you take it off and you use it and you put it back on when you're done. It protects the dangers of dust, if you got pets and pet dander, that type of stuff, from damaging your sensitive electronics and circuits. Don't forget AdLocal. AdLocal can help you with your email services. And as a matter of fact, AdLocal, there's another company, and I wanted to start plugging them. And so actually, I'm going to start plugging them, and I need to take a quick second so I can find the name of this, because I want to point you towards this Constitution calendar. And a friend of mine bounced off his first run of the calendar. And I'm saying this because I believe that down the road you'll find content on this calendar, because this calendar is intended to, one, educate people. Yes, it's the WeThePeopleCalendar.com. So if you're looking for a calendar that is specific for the Constitution, go to WeThePeopleCalendar.com. You can actually become a subscriber, and that's what I would highly recommend. They're going to actually start injecting the concepts of Republic Review. They're going to inject these things that, you know, we're pushing for, the canonizing, definitizing the Constitution, those types of things. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to basically take people that are really constitutionally illiterate and educate them enough so that they don't, you know, pull their hand back, or they don't, you know, recoil when they hear something like Republic. What the heck's Republic Review? What we want to do is we want to make sure everybody is starting to learn and get behind things. Now, they're working on, and I think, so they're doing this to support the Constitution. You know, and obviously it's a business, so it's making money, but it is also taking proceeds to be supporting something. That's something I would like to see, and I'd like to use this company to actually support the Constitution Party. Oh, but the Constitution Party won't take donations from companies. We need to change that. And so I need to, you know, actually talk to this guy and say, you know, whatever your proceeds become, I think that we need to do this, because we need a good reason to help the Constitution Party understand the businesses have it in their best interest to be able to, you know, support the full compliance of the Constitution, if that's what the Constitution Party can stand for. Because if it does, then what that means is businesses are looking for just maintaining a fair and, you know, equal playing field that everybody can compete on. That's the whole point. We're not looking for, and we don't want to support businesses that are trying to create unfair advantages for themselves to knock out competition. That hurts us. Anyway, so WeThePeopleCalendar.com. And if you go there, you can actually kind of look at the calendar, and I think there's some samples of what you can have, what you can do. And by all means, check it out, get involved, and support a good cause, okay? Now, we also have Red Pill Expo coming up. Red Pill Expo, Lafayette, Louisiana, early November. Have you talked to your state legislator? Have you sent them an email? Have you poked them and said, are you going? They need to go. So and it's free for them. All they have to do is get there, or all they have to do is sign up for streaming by using their legislative email. So anyway, and what we'll do is we will actually confirm that their email is, and have them send an email to us, which is what, you know, which is how we'll create that validation and verification. So anywho, we need you to get involved. We need to get businesses involved. We need everybody. We need everybody's shoulder, you know, against this, to start pushing this object, this obstacle out of the way, and start pushing and working this load down the road. We have a comment line. I haven't said this in a little while. 425-270-5416. And I hope you have a progressive friend like I do, who I call Harry. And I hope they listen. I hope they start learning and realizing that everything that they really thought was constitutional, that the government could do, they're going to realize that they can't. And they're going to start understanding the ramifications of that. So anyway, let's get back to the Constitution. So one of the things that we're covering in the Constitution are the enumerated powers. And we kind of had to take a break because the end of the episode, and it's the end of the segment here. So what we need to do is we need to take a short break so that we can get back to the 10th subsection of Section 8 of the enumerated powers. And so when we come back, we'll be diving into some more enumerated powers. And then when we're done with this, we'll kind of take a quick look at generalizing what these enumerated powers are and how simple it is to list these. We'll be right back after this. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so the first one up is a good one, because most people don't understand the letters of marquee and reprisal. So number 10, subsection 10, to declare war, grant letters of marquee and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water. Now, in other words, what do you do with the prisoners? How do you handle them? And so, what is a letter of marquee and reprisal? Well, so back in the day, you have to understand that the United States didn't have this awesome armada, this huge navy. And so what it did was, it was a letter of marquee and reprisal was a government license in the age of sail, back in the days of the, you know, ship sailing, that authorized a private person known as a privateer, or corsair to attack and capture vessels of a nation at war with the issuer. Once captured, the privateers could bring the case of that prize before their own admiralty court for condemnation and transfer of ownership to the privateer. In other words, you know, this is an opportunity for a privateer to create, and or a corsair, to create their own little fleet by going out and capturing these ships of war. Now, I'm not sure when the last time we actually published, you know, a letter of marque and reprisal, but we had to do that in our early days. And, you know, when we started looking at the Revolutionary War and the second part of the Revolutionary War, because you know, that was the War of 1812, by the way. So we didn't have the size commensurate with what we needed to protect at that point in time. Now, today we have one of the world's largest navies, probably larger than China's, because China is bolstering this building of a navy, but it takes a long time to get your sea legs and understand how to operate and everything else. Now, they may have armament, they may have people, but they do not have a lot of experience. They have, and they're great copycats. I mean, that's what they do. They copy from other people. Interesting, because China used to actually lead in innovation a long, long time ago with fireworks and clay making. I mean, the original China, the high-quality China, was really manufactured in China, even though England and some other, you know, Western societies tried to create it, like Wedgwood and so forth, some of these old brands. They were second to the quality that China had been doing, because China had been doing it for years. China was a very civilized society, and ironically enough, it was a civilized communal society, or at least a socialist type of state under the control of these dynasties. It's almost like a monarchical socialist state where everybody shared, because they had to. They were limited. You can't live and grow things along these really steep mountains and so forth. And China is a very mountainous area, so they had to learn to pull resources and live communally. And they did this for thousands of years. And so in some ways, in operating, they're leagues ahead of the world in understanding collectivism and so forth. This is why they do so well. It's interestingly enough that they were a second-rate communist nation for decades. Had it not been for the United States in bolstering them with most favored nation status, and then getting all sorts of countries to start doing business with China, had we not done that, China would still be an obsolete, overpopulated country that, you know, couldn't hit the broadside of a continent even with an ICBM. I mean, it was basically they were firing rockets because their missile guidance and everything else really lacked. And the only reason that they have the technology is because of Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton gave them all the sensitive, highly top secret technology from Loral and other companies to help China become what a formidable force that they are today. China could not have done this on their own. And they actually came right out when they started blowing up platforms on their rockets. China came right out and said, "Hey, you know, we need your help. You need to give us this guidance system." Yeah. And Clinton gave it to him for pennies on the dollar. That man, on all the things that he gave to China, he should be standing trial for treason after we impeach him. And I'm confident when you look at the MSNBC timeline, you know, how the money exchanged hands and then China got, you know, technology. They got something from the Clintons' office. And I am here to tell you that was treason. That's proven treason. It just has to go through trial, which means that the day would come that we might actually see justice to some of these corrupt creatures that have occupied the halls of government and actually hold them accountable and watch them dangle by their neck at the end of a rope. Because that's what Clinton should be doing. And I believe that he will be found guilty of treason if he was truly charged in a legitimate court. There's no doubt in my mind that the people would actually find him guilty of treason and he would hang. And same thing with Hillary. These people have gotten away with murder, and literally we know that. Anyway, so going on and making rules concerning captures on land, and so in other words, how to treat the prisoners of war, how to treat their materials and so forth, to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for longer term than 2 years. So in other words, they can raise an army. And where do they raise that army from? From the militia. Okay, so they get the army out of the militia. They just don't all of a sudden create this army out of thin air. The army and the reserve forces to protect the United States in necessity of war is when Congress basically calls up the militia and federalizes them in creating the army. And it's coming up here. So to provide for the next one, number 12, to provide and maintain a navy. Now, the Marine Corps is a part of that, but there's no limitations to the navy. The navy is considered a external defense system that goes out and protects us, you know, from afar, so that we don't necessarily have to wait to engage in war on our own shores and on our own land. We can actually help take the fight to Britain this next time or to whatever nation, because now we can project force. Because understanding security, projecting force is big. Because, you know, what's the cost? I mean, sure, there's a cost of, you know, operations, the life, you know, the money and the equipment and munitions, all of that stuff, there's a cost to. But look at the cost of the society and the culture when you're in there blowing up buildings and decimating a country. It's far better to fight a war on their territory and on their land than allowing them to come to you and decimate you, because that is a much greater cost, because now you're killing innocent civilians, especially in those days where they didn't have the ability to have, you know, tightly accurate and smart, you know, munitions to where they can actually just kill a very specific target. And instead, they now have the ability to go down these paths of targeting, you know, a much, you know, back in the old days, it was just carpet bombing or just, you know, chances of killing innocent civilians was very high. In World War II, my grandfather, who ran and did missions both in the Pacific and in the European theater with the Army Air Corps, you know, many a times it bothered him that he knew he was doing carpet bombing, and he knew that they were killing villages of people. That was the cost of war, specifically back in those days when they didn't have the ability to do smart targeting and, you know, more accurate targeting to where they were only killing the military. So it was the unfortunate consequences of war that, you know, these innocent people and or these, you know, bystanders are getting killed. Anywho, I digress. So to provide and maintain a navy. 13, to make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces. So in other words, it is up to Congress to create these rules and regulations of behavior, how they're going to act, and create these standards of behavior. Next, to provide for, calling forth, now this is subsection 15, but it's actually subsection 14 if you don't count the preamble. So because the preamble being subsection 1, that's how it just falls out. But because it's a preamble, it shouldn't be a subsection. So technically, this is subsection 14. to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasion. So in other words, our army force is the militia to call for and bring them forth. Now, to provide for, here it is right here. This gets into the details of the army. Now, to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia. We'll get back into this because this is where the militias change, and this is how the federal government actually has control, or I should say Congress has control of what the makeup is of that militia, but we'll get into that when we come back after these two promos. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so as we were just kind of covering that the federal government, or Congress, has the power for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union. You will not find any other clause within the Constitution or its amendments authorizing any other entity to execute the laws. Now, you'll find that Congress will be able to make laws to enforce, but they cannot execute and or enforce those laws themselves. The only place that it identifies who will execute the laws is right here, and it identifies that because this is a check and balance. You have to understand this. This is a huge check on the federal government. The only people that have the constitutional authority to enforce laws that are in pursuant to the Constitution are the citizens and, or actually technically, the militia that are called into service by the federal government to do just that, to execute those laws. So, when you look at the FBI, when you look at all of these federal enforcement agencies, they don't have the constitutional standing. The only way that if those were legitimate laws, The only way, and see, this is how it was broken down. They knew that as soon as they could start enforcing their own laws, they could actually start wandering their, and creeping their powers and creating unconstitutional powers, because now they get to enforce it instead of this check and balance where the people go, hey, you don't have the power to do this. You may federalize us, but we're not executing these laws. We have the right to not execute those laws because they are not within the... So when you look at the execution of a mandate by the president for vaccinations, and he hires people to go do this, he can't. The only method that they can actually go and enforce vaccinations would be at a federal level, and it should be at the state as well, would be by utilizing the militia. The militia is the reserve force to be able to, but what's happened is they've created so many laws that they need to maintain these large armies. No. I'm telling you, you go through the ratification debates, when they talked about the fact that government being able to have standing armies, they said there is no greater evil that could come upon any country. And I'm telling you that we are the ones that have the ultimate say, whether we're going to follow and execute these laws or not. This is the ultimate check on federal tyranny. But they convinced us to bypass this. And actually, Mason, I think it was June 16th, maybe it was the 14th, when Mason identified the process of how they would go about marginalizing the militia so that the federal government would then say, oh, well, the militia doesn't work. We're going to use something else. Okay, so everything Mason said may have been correct, but it was all contingent on the fact that the federal government would be willing to violate the Constitution. If you understand what I just said, then they can't marginalize it. It would be a violation of the Constitution. The only way the federal government cannot follow the Constitution, the requirements in the Constitution, by calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions, the only way is for them to amend the Constitution and create a different entity like the National Guard. And so what I just said is, yes, the National Guard is not the militia. It is not the apparatus that is managed at the state level down to the counties and apportioned to the counties as appropriate, so that every sheriff has a militia that he can depend on and call upon, you know, in times of civil unrest, invasions, and or insurrection. So anyway, anywho, so now the federal government in subsection 16, if you just basically count it without the preamble, it would be 15, to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia. Organizing, arming, and disciplining. So the federal government is to provide for the organizing, the arming, and disciplining the militia. I said that three times, and the reason I did that is because that requires funding. And so when you have a sheriff that creates a constitutional, when he actually goes and creates a constitutional county and actually creates an organized militia, the sheriff should be able to go to the state and say, give me the federal funding necessary to organizing, arming, and disciplining my militia. Because per the Constitution, the states are obligated to do this as well. But they're not going to, or at least they'll say, well, we've got this thing called the National Guard. And the sheriff should, the quick response is, I don't see that in the Constitution, but I do see in the ratification debates how they talked about the militia and its makeup being a county organized structure. Therefore, I am a county that has a militia in accordance with the Constitution and the ratification debates, and therefore, based on the Constitution, because it doesn't say National Guard, it says militia, you need to give me the appropriate funding so that I can give the training, arming, and disciplining to my militia. Now, The other thing is that the federal government is to provide for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states, respectively, the appointment of the officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. Well, this means Congress has the power to determine that the makeup of the militia will include women, and that women will be included in combat, and that's what Congress has done. Now, there's a lot of us that don't like this, but bottom line, Congress does have that power. They have that discretion to do that. And so any state that pushes back, they're not on good ground, because the federal government does have this responsibility of creating these standards and creating this uniformity of discipline and how to be employed and governing and so forth. And so, you know, there's a lot of states that have this wake up, because there's lots of people in the women shouldn't be in the militia. By our state constitution, they can't be. Well, technically, the federal government and Congress has actually changed all of that. And the states, because it is within their jurisdiction and power, the states actually have to abide by what those changes are. Anyway, subsection 15. If you do the subsections from the top all the way through, this would be 17, but this is subsection 16. To exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district. Now, I'm going to include a little parentheses. Not exceeding 10 miles square, close parentheses. This is referring to the size of the seat of government for the national government. In other words, Washington, D.C. Got to remember, Washington, D.C. and the district did not exist. They needed to figure out where it was going to go in their first few years. They had to figure this out. And the problem was, where were they going to do this? Well, it made sense to kind of do it in the center of the states that we had, so that it would be not an advantage for the northern states or the southern states, but everybody had an equal burden to have to travel the distance from Georgia or from Maine to get to the federal seat. So anyway, going back to this and understanding that not exceeding the 10-mile square parentheses, let me start over. To exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district, not exceeding the 10 miles, as may, by concession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress, become the seat of government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state, in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, and docks, yards, and other needful buildings, and then they go into the final one. Now, they just gave you a list of the types of buildings and property that the federal government would need. Now, fundamentally, you can say military purposes for training, for arsenals, for magazines. So what's a magazine and an arsenal? It's where you store your munitions, your guns, and, you know, your weapons. Okay, so they have this responsibility to actually do that, so they can buy land to do that from the state, and they can manage and run that type of land in those states. In other words, they have the exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over the district, and over like authority in all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state, in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, so military training facilities, those types of things. Okay, we kind of have stretched that. It doesn't list that there, but we kind of stretched it to go, it's the same thing. For military and national security and needful buildings for that. Well, so one of the things that we look at needful buildings, because Congress does have the responsibility of controlling commerce that's flowing in and out of America. So any port of entry, the federal government would need buildings or ports of entry, you know, a dock and or a place where they can maintain and manage and control the shipping of goods and or of foreign nationals into the United States so that they can control them, right? because if they don't know that they're coming in, then we're being invaded, and they got a clause against that as well. But as you can tell, we're heading into a break. We will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so as we kind of start picking this apart a little bit more, the federal government has exclusive legislation. In other words, they're the ones, because it says right here, to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever. All cases whatsoever over such district. So what does that mean? We know the district means Washington, D.C., which means that all laws, all rules, all, you know, curfews and anything like that, it is the responsibility of Congress to legislate. It doesn't say that they can abdicate this responsibility to a city council. Doesn't say that. It says right here to exercise exclusive legislation, to exercise it, not to abdicate it, to delegate it. So, in other words, the fact that Washington, D.C. has a city government, has a mayor, and has, you know, other elements of legislative powers, such as a city council, well, that's a violation of the Constitution. It's a huge violation of the Constitution. And so when we look at this run for Congress to actually allow the Washington, D.C. to become a state, that in itself is repugnant, because during the ratification debates, they said we have to create this seat so that it maintains full autonomy, that it will not be subjugated to a state government, that the federal government needs to have autonomy from any type of state rules and state sovereignty. Creating a state would be very problematic for the federal government. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, oh, well, this is how we can gain two seats for the senator. And then but see, if it becomes a state, then all the land becomes that state's land. And you have to understand that there are only very specific things that are needful buildings that would be, you know, considered not state property. This would be the smallest state in the United States because it's 10 miles, or smaller now because Virginia has taken back their portion of Washington, D.C. But as you look at, you know, what they could do and what they would do if it became a state, well, I'm just telling you that the state could become far more oppressive because many of the things that they have in Washington, D.C. is no longer, let's just call it, sovereign or within the federal government's jurisdiction. So a lot of the buildings and a lot of those things would then be subject to tax and controlled by the state. Big problems. Big problems. Now, it's okay, the D.C., if they want to sell to private investors. But to be clear, I want to say this. There's nowhere that we've read anywhere in the enumerated powers that the federal government has the authority to allow a foreign national or a foreign nation to buy and possess any land within the United States. Nowhere. As a matter of fact, it's antithetical to national security to allow a nation who could be unsuspecting to us, a enemy to us, and allow them to own property and be able to inflict upon us in using that property to disguise, you know, the storing of weaponry and so forth, to where next thing you know, coming from that property, we could have this huge battle of warfare on our own grounds because the federal government exercised unconstitutional authority in allowing a federal entity, or I should say a foreign entity, the control of land and property in the United States. This is why when a state becomes a state, all of that land becomes theirs. The only caveats to land that is not theirs are the land that is identified here in the Constitution that the federal government can own. Nowhere did they mention parks. Nowhere did they mention recreation or preservation, environment, housing, none of that. If you understand that a state is sovereign, Indian reservations are not listed here. The federal government does not have the authority based on the Constitution to create treaties and to basically segregate and separate state sovereign land away from the state. So what has to happen, and this is just, it's that simple. The land that the Indians are living on gets ripped away from the federal government and it becomes Indian land and under state sovereignty. In other words, now the state can start taxing that land and pay, basically start taxing businesses and everything else because it's all functioning within the state. If you start looking at the simplicity of understanding all of this, this isn't that complicated. The only reason it became complicated is because these juvenile delinquents started making it up as they went along, and they started aggrandizing everything that they could for themselves so they could control every aspect of and every facet of our lives. That was never the intent in establishing this federal government. This federal government was to serve the republic in very specific ways. And the primary way was to provide us national security. It is antithetical. It defies logic why the federal government would allow foreign nations, which foreign nations are all hostile in one way or another, because we're competing in trade, they're not a part of the United States. And oh, by the way, if they want to become a friendly state to the United States, they have to actually apply to become a state in the United States. And we'll get to that when we get to Article 4. And I've said this before, any state in the world can apply to become a state in the United States. It doesn't mean that it happens overnight, especially if they don't have the same legal system, the same language, culture, and so forth and so on. you know, their religion has to basically synchronize with individual liberty and individual sovereignty. If they are a theocracy that does not allow individual liberty and individual sovereignty, such as Islam, then that state cannot become a state in the United States because it is in direct conflict with our principles. It's simple. Now, it doesn't mean... Now, I do believe that we're at an age and time that surpasses the knowledge and understanding of the framers. They had no idea and no way to really manage all of these different things of citizenship. But they did create these different caveats for people that lived in the United States. There were inhabitants, there were citizens, and then there were voters who were also a citizen, but the voters had land and or property, and they were vested in the land and government. In other words, they didn't just allow anybody to vote, but you were able to be a citizen, and you had, you know, some fundamental rights, and they started expanding on that. Does any person that's a citizen deserve the right of representation? Okay, but do you deserve the right to be able to vote on a issue that would affect your property tax if you don't own any land? No, because allowing people to influence taxation on landowners basically takes us towards a democracy. In other words, allowing anybody and everybody to vote on things that they have no business voting on. So we have the ability to segregate. And so today, with your ballot should include those things that you qualify for, that they could easily create these, what we call rules, like in a database to say, okay, this person is a property owner. They, you know, they live here and they own a business in this county. So they should actually be able to vote in protecting their businesses in that county of that state. It would be good to allow businesses across state boundaries to be able to vote to protect their property in those businesses that they've invested. Because bottom line, what happens is when you let everybody vote, what ends up happening is that those people that want to get businesses to pay for, you know, this crappy education and everything under the sun, then they say, yeah, let's assign it to the property tax. So businesses should be able to protect themselves from that type of hostility. Because how good is a business in your community and how much is it really serving your community when it goes out of business? We can't allow tyranny and despotism by the rule of the majority to destroy our local economy as well as our local community. So this is why we have the ability now. The framers couldn't fathom this, but we have the ability now to create a voting system that would allow those who have skin in the game to vote in those things that they should. You know, if you're not a U.S. citizen, but you're a resident and or an inhabitant in a state, well, okay, so you can't vote and you can't obtain representation. That's right there in Section 2 of the 14th Amendment. If you can't vote, you should not be apportioned based on the taxes, and or you should not be apportioned for voting as well. We'll get into the 14th Amendment later, and we will go through it line by line, and you're going to love what we're going to expose you to. But with that, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. We've got a little bit more to go through to close Section 8, and we will be back in our next episode to do so. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.